Welcome to this week's edition of Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. Each week, I'll be discussing different issues and different ideas with entrepreneurs from Malta and overseas to help you change or start your own business. Welcome to this week's series of Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, and my guests this week are Charles Thoma from the St. Martin's Institute. You're actually the principal there.
Yeah.
I haven't been outside a headmaster's office for a long time. And we've got Yelena Montanaro from PwC, yeah. And you're one of the sponsors of the actual JAYE program itself. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to talk to you both about JAYE, how you've got it within your organizations. I believe St. Martin's, it's been there forever.
For 4 years.
4 years, okay.
For the startup competition, practically forever, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we joined in a year after it was introduced.
Okay.
So it has been now 4 years. This is our fifth event.
Yeah. And it's something that's working well with the students there?
Yes, I hope it is. It is ingrained as part of our first year of a business degree.
Okay.
So it is compulsory for our students.
Mm-hmm.
Because we believe that it's not just gaining knowledge, you'd have to try and adapt that knowledge and implement that knowledge.
Yes.
And we find that JAYE Startup Competition is the ideal vehicle to be able to introduce these people to the world of business.
And you're saying about the real aspects, it's the soft skills, it's the practicing what's in lectures. It's not just, you know, here are the rules of marketing or here are the rules of sales, it's how to actually do it.
That's it. One wonders what a blockage there would be. Even simple things like developing a 3-year cash flow statement.
Mm-hmm.
You have students who would know that really well. They are able to do a 3-year cash flow statement.
Mm-hmm.
They pass an exam with flying colors. Then they come up with their own innovative idea and you tell them, okay, start building a budget, start finding your main points
mm-hmm.
in this 3-year cash flow statement, and suddenly there's a blank, there's a writer's block.
Ah.
It's tangible. You can feel it that they are struggling, but they cannot adapt what they are learning in the classroom onto this piece of paper that they have to present to a board of judges,
mm-hmm.
which mimic actually a board of investors, people mm-hmm. who may invest in their business, you know? So it really breaks the ice between what you're learning in the classroom and what you're doing in practice.
And so with PwC, what involvement do you have? Do you mentor students along these programs? What's your involvement?
We sponsor the startup program specifically, so the program that St. Martin's Institute have been involved in for quite a few years. The sponsorship involves obviously us getting involved in certain events that mm-hmm. they have. The head judge is a PwC partner, so Steve Mama, who is the head judge of the program. But mainly we obviously assign mentors as well from staff who work within PwC, so anyone who is willing to get involved and actually
uh-huh.
mentor the teams, we encourage people internally to get involved as well.
Okay.
For us, the main reason why I think we do get involved in these programs, obviously as Charles was saying, is because we are interested in helping students to develop that link between theory and practice, you know, and it's very much something that we believe in at PwC, be it with our own student programs as well as, you know, getting involved in sponsorships such as these, because there is a bit of a missing link, you know, sometimes, and it's understandable, you know, we're all in that place once, it's till you get that exposure of the practice that you really start to see how the theory fits in, you know, so something like this and incorporating it as a compulsory element of education, which is now happening at university, which is great as well, is really important, you know, and it's definitely something we feel we want to continue to encourage.
And so the students, so you said it's compulsory for their first year.
Yeah.
Do you think that's one of the reasons parents choose to send their children to your school? Or is that because they know they're going to have this extra sort of this benefit to their education?
Should I tell you that?
Well, I would hope. It's a fantastic opportunity.
It was, first of all, it was part of our philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So we hadn't participated in JAYE before that date. It's because since we are a tertiary institution, we couldn't ever participate, say, in the company program because of the age limit, the maximum age limit. Mm-hmm. The minute that JAYE introduced startup, that was a real big benefit for us because now the maximum age, I think, is 27. So it very well it caters very well for for our students. Now, I don't believe that students choose us because of the JAYE startup.
Okay.
Unfortunately, what we are seeing, our experience, is that through compulsory education, students are being weaned to do less.
Ah.
They have to memorize, they have to pass an exam, that's it. The day after the exam, you can forget everything.
Mm.
That's bad. That's really bad. So I wouldn't think that students do come to us because they have extra work to do. They would just love to sit back in the lecture theater, listen to the lecturers explain, pass an exam, and it's done. But then parents, and this is quite interesting, I meet all prospective students and I meet all prospective parents, especially those parents who are already in business, really appreciate the program. Really, really appreciate the program. Because they can read through and they can understand probably their own difficulties in setting up their own business, in founding their own business, or inheriting a family business, but their own problems in understanding, after all, the new scenario of business. In Malta, it was unheard of up till a decade ago that people would call for equity partners. Any business that was set up in Malta, including myself, had to rely on bank finance. So we already teach students first year that you can get a great idea, have absolutely no money in your pocket, you don't have a rich uncle that you're going to inherit, but go through a panel just as PwC set up as well for them to mimic this environment of going to business angels and asking for investment for your own business. And you start seeing that students start saying, wow, this seems to be possible then. And yes, PwC support us a lot, even through their own consultancy and their own work with the students, that yes, this is the modern era of setting up innovative businesses. Now, it's not anymore just inheriting your family's hotel or boutique or whatever, but it's actually coming up with very innovative ideas and moving on with them.
It's amazing, actually, how many young people do just want to have their own business. It's like they don't want to do a normal job. And I don't know why they think having your own business is more fun or less
sorry
work.
For interrupting. Yes, they do dream of that, but some of them don't realize what it means.
Ah.
If you don't know what you're doing, it's a very dangerous venture.
Mm.
You can become bankrupt very quickly, and you have a lifetime paying your debts. So, and this is why this program actually introduce them to every aspect of business life, including setting up your own business plan, including trying it out whilst you can make your mistakes. Because you're still a university student at the end of it all.
Ah.
All right? This is all on paper. You haven't committed your mother's or father's finances.
And your own
you
house.
Haven't committed. Well, at the age of 17, 18, I doubt if they have anything. But, you know, you haven't committed, but you start understanding, and even judges will give you feedback. Oh, this is pie in the sky. How can you make this work? Where is your profitability? How are you going to monetize this idea? You know? So it's so very important. Anybody who thinks that they could make a career as an entrepreneur needs to do this program. Whichever, St. Martin's, University of Malta, wherever, they need to do this program so that they will really understand what it means.
Excellent. And so you were saying about PwC, you send your staff, so your staff with proper day jobs, you know, that they go off and help these kids through. How do they help?
They act as mentors, basically.
Okay.
So each team who's set up within the J framework requires a mentor or two to help them, to guide them throughout their 8-9 month experience. Mm-hmm. Okay. So setting out an agenda for them, for the meetings, you know, making sure that they're actually ticking all the boxes to get to the final result. So they require mentors to help them, you know, to guide them through this. And we do have staff that sometimes either volunteer or we actually speak to them and encourage them to do so, and they kind of get involved in that way as well. What I want to continue though from what Charles was saying is that in our case, as much obviously we're a business, so a lot of the we like to kind of encourage people not only to become entrepreneurs in the true sense of the word, so developing your own business, but also understanding the importance of having an entrepreneurial mindset. So even when you are working within a business, so yes, it doesn't have to be something that you create yourself, but how can you continue to think like an entrepreneur but while working obviously for another company? So like PwC, you know, the world of work is constantly changing, and keeping yourself kind of up to date and you know, thirsty to kind of push and want to you know, challenge the status quo rather than, you know, sticking to what's mm-hmm. usual. So having that mindset within another organization, you know, not only your own, is extremely important, you know, for us. And I mean, I think a lot of other businesses, you know, in Malta. So
I think one of these things as well, it teaches people, you know, even grown-ups need to go through this program, I think, because yeah. it teaches you actually how what you do impacts another colleague or somebody else yeah. in the supply chain.
Yeah.
Because you just think, yeah, well, I've done my bit. But if your bit isn't detailed enough, or if your bit is late, or if exactly. your bit isn't the right quality or whatever, it yes. impacts the whole idea. And it means, you know, mm-hmm. Somebody's not going to be able to get up on the stage and do their mm-hmm. delivery and sell the product that then pays all of you down the chain. Yeah. Yeah. And it sort of teaches a bit of responsibility as well, exactly. like, I think.
Yeah, it does. And if I may say so, we also set up a very important record, because in the second year that we participated, we actually did not only win Malta, but we also win the European trophy.
Okay.
That was something unbelievable for me. I was there. I just couldn't believe it. I never thought that first time out we're going to win the European trophy in Helsinki. And suddenly then you see the potential. Not just because our Maltese team won once, but it's because we were competing with top universities from all around Europe. And ours was the youngest team. Most of the teams were postgraduate students.
Okay.
So the idea of entrepreneurship overseas is inculcated in every aspect of science, in every aspect of professions, in everything. And you see that it wasn't a push, it was a pull. It was the graduates themselves or the students themselves who were pulling this idea mm-hmm. of what I'm studying, can I actually build a business out of it? Whether I can finance it through equity shareholding rather than always go to government, knock on the door and try and get some sort of sponsorship or whatever, you mm-hmm. know? And we're talking about businesses that in their business plan, they were asking for millions of euros of investment. And not like in our case, it was, I think, 160,000 investment. But the fact that that team, its name was intact, that team won, for me, it gave me a good idea uh-huh. of what we were doing and what we really needed to do so that we managed to foster even more entrepreneurial spirit within our islands and not businessmen or uh-huh. business people doing deals. So this is entrepreneurship, see how we can really compete with our neighbours in Europe and the world after all.
And learn from them as well, I guess, because there's, like you say, you're on that stage and that platform, you're hearing the way other kids, do, you know, other mm-hmm. students are doing it, the challenges other countries that might have.
And the judges.
We take
and
for granted.
The judges in Europe, they are well-renowned international entrepreneurs. Mm. You know, for the tiny island that we are, when you start speaking, I mean, one of them particularly, I think, was the chief judge. I think the number of, if he just gives us a tip as Malta, all our national debt would be gone, just disappear. So that's enough said.
And so from your perspective as well, doing these international programs, is this something PwC takes on across the globe, or is it just PwC Malta involved in JAYE?
No, I mean, as far as I know, it's PwC Malta. To mm-hmm. be honest, I'm not 100% sure about other territories. I know that, you know, PwC on the whole, well, we're in quite a few countries,
yes.
to be honest, around 157 at the moment. And we do invest a lot in students, be it internships internally or student programs specifically that each territory takes on. Obviously, we do things, we all do things in a different way though, so we don't sit into a standard on how we work with students. Here in Malta, we do a lot. So we do a lot with companies, with programs like JAYE. Even internally, we take on students. We do some work as well with St. Martin's Institute. And as part of the programs that we develop as well ourselves, this element of entrepreneurship, this element of developing soft skills, linking to the theory that they're learning at university or at sixth form or at St. Martin's Institute as well, is extremely important. And it's definitely something we feel that we want to continue to push, and we work I think we work quite hard at it, to be honest. And
this, I can vouch for
it. We see a lot of value, you know. These people eventually will be joining our workforce, and at the end of the day, you know, we feel like it's important to help them to get to that point, you know, to succeed when they're actually studying, rather than bringing them in on their first day and expecting them to, you know, just perform in a certain way and just be an employee. Because
we forget that, you know, these kids have been at school for years with the same people, and then all by sudden you go into another room, you don't know anybody, and you're expected to do stuff, and somebody's going to pay you for it. So you've got to be able to do it. It's not just like you have to go every day because it's mandatory, it's education. But we forget that aspect. So good bridge. If you've just joined us, you're listening to me, Monique Chambers, and I have Charles Toma with me from the St. Martin's Institute and Yelena Montanaro from PwC. One of the other things is the skills, not just the skills, actually the ideas that come up. What sorts of ideas do you see? Because you sort of think of apps all the time, you know. Is there more to life than apps in the future?
For sure. For sure. Obviously, the app or technology is giving this new millennial generation an opportunity to redevelop business models. So, yes, it gives them space. They have space now that they can reinvent things that maybe we are used to using normally, but they can reinvent them using technology. That's maybe my only criticism about the competition. That the competition itself puts businesses, the right type of businesses, too much in a pigeonhole.
Okay.
So everybody knows that if it is not a technology-based idea, probably it won't do well in the competition. Everybody has to do something with technology. And I always say that if you want to be a successful entrepreneur and you want to do, I don't know, mince pies, just do them better than anybody else and you'll be successful. But providing a business plan about mince pies will get you nowhere in the competition, because obviously the judging panel would be more oriented towards something which is high tech. Look what we're doing. In fact, mentioning this, last year's, so 2019's winners of the European competition is very, very interesting. It was won by Norway.
Okay.
There were a team of six PhD students. And they found, I had never heard of this, that in the salmon farming, salmon has this sort of tiny microbe that literally skins it alive. And they found that a particular fish feeds on these little plankton. And their business plan was actually to develop what they called, I can't remember because it was a Norwegian name of this tiny little fish, but they said, we will educate this fish so that we add it to the salmon farms and they will just feed on this plankton so that we save more of the salmon. Why? Because
save
in Norway, in Norway they can't put in chemicals in the seas because obviously of pollution, etc. But this is a natural system. So there's no technology in it, there's no app to it, absolutely. A purely scientific, and they not only won their national competition, but they also won the European competition. So, of course, there is much more to life than just technology. A country such as Malta has an advantage with technology, because suddenly our size, which diminishes us, because we're so small, our market is so small, if you grow into technology, suddenly you have the global market literally at your fingertips. So it is an advantage. I can see why we are leaned over to move into into technology. But this year we have four teams competing, and I can say that three of them are not technology-based. There is some technology in them, but they are not app-based or purely technology as we understand. They're very creative, but not technology-based.
That's the, one of the things as well. There's such a brain drain. You know, the young people seem to leave Malta to go and do something, you know, and then when they start their families, they generally come back to Malta. It's hard to find staff in Malta. Is that something that this programme can help with in terms of encouraging people, young people, to stay, perhaps, because there's more, you know, they can open their eyes to more opportunity, they get exposure to people like PwC, they have exposure to being able to practice their own business. Do you think it's something that could help in our, you know, our skills base, not necessarily our skills base, you know, our the number of people, we don't have the right amount of people for the right amount of jobs, and the people that are coming still can't fill the jobs, so we're sort of going to end up in a bit of a mess if we can't retain our...
Yes, but I think we're a bit too far away from this utopia that you are mentioning. When we were in Helsinki, we were obviously introduced to what just the city of Helsinki, not Finland, just the city of Helsinki does to promote and foster entrepreneurship. Just the city invests 20 million a year in seed money.
Wow.
And in Malta, I think, if I can say so, all in all, grants and everything, we barely touch the quarter of a million euros.
That's about right.
Yeah. If you get a grant, you get 10,000 euros. I mean, come on, it's not even the median salary. So if a graduate would like to set up his own business or her own business, they have a problem. They don't even have a median salary. They're working for the good of the idea, trying to make it work, which is not wrong, because I don't expect an entrepreneur to expect to be paid for setting up their own business. But I think there's too much of a gap between the 10,000 maximum that you can get for as a grant to start up your own business with the reality of what it really means to set up a business today.
No, that's true, because you do find when you talk to young entrepreneurs, they have a day job, and then they have to do this in the evening.
In the evening.
They've got family, they've got friends, they've got, and, you know, somewhere down the line, you're going to get fed up of one or the other and, you know, not make it to the grand, well, the big stage, I suppose, at the end of the day. Yeah. So what are the lessons that you think are learned by educational institutes and by corporates like yourself participating in something like Jay, from your point of view, not from the student's point of view that you're helping? What's the benefit to PwC?
The benefits, I mean, I think investing in society in this way and in future employees, as you're saying, so yeah, it might encourage people to stay here. It might open up doors for them and show them, you know, that there's a lot of opportunity and in staying in Malta. So us investing time and money in programs like Jay and sponsoring students, etc. One, as I said, helps us to kind of train or help students, you know, get ready for their future careers, and their future career might very well be with us. So, you know, that obviously helps in that way. But also giving back to society, so helping to mold the future employees of anywhere at the end of the day, even if they don't end up working with us, as you're saying, to keep Malta going at the end of the day as well. So, you know, hopefully encouraging them to stay here and you know, build their business and maybe come up with an innovative product. You never know, they might be our clients one day. So it's kind of helps with the cycle, I guess, you know, and I feel it's definitely something that we want to keep doing as a firm. So I would say that's our value.
And from your perspective,
I think it's even deeper. Because what I was saying about students, I can also say the same thing about lecturers. Academics have a tendency of getting into their own bubble, reading, studying, being very knowledgeable about
it.
But then about it, and then when they actually come in practice, they have a big blockage. And JAYE, you have to give answers. Out of the team that assists students for JAYE, I would say we are three entrepreneurs. So it's not just that we are academics, but mm-hmm. we're also set up our own businesses sometime or another in our life.
Uh-huh.
Some with success, some with failure, but you learn from failure as well. And that shows, and it shows in the way that we assist our students, is that we know what the priority of education is, but we also know when you are setting up a business what your priorities should be. You know, so we manage to bridge. And that adds sharpness to our lectures mm-hmm. and to our mentorship, which is different from the mentorship that PwC would provide, because just to highlight it, when you have a team, mm-hmm. you have a link teacher, so we are teaching in the classroom,
mm-hmm.
and we are also obviously linking to what we're teaching to what they're doing as a project. We give them assignments, they have to do assignments as part of the JAYE, okay. as part of their units. Whilst the mentors from PwC are more like a friendly consultant.
Okay.
You know? So, yes, academics become very, very sharp on what is, obviously, those people who are teaching for entrepreneurship, they become very sharp in what is necessary, what may be not so necessary, and where everything should be placed in the wide scene of business.
And so going forward, would you have done it if you had the chance?
I did.
You did it? Oh, I should have
asked
at the beginning.
Not the startup program. I did the company program, which is that sixth form. But that is, it's basically, it's voluntary, so it's not embedded in the syllabus.
I really want to do it now. I've been talking to people about
this. It's a great experience, and even students who we meet who had that experience, for example, or in previous mm-hmm. years, and now they're looking for jobs or something, the way they talk about it and they use it as an example, you know, of how they've worked with others, how they've understood, you know, the work, the inner workings of a business, etc., which is a great example, because to be honest, they are actually being put to the test, you know, in something like this.
It's
so
more exciting than a maths A level. As well.
Yes, definitely.
My answer's, I'm probably not. I'm not educated. I don't have to say that.
But no, I mean, I did it, and I definitely, at it was at a younger stage. I was 16, well, I was 16, 17. Well, but no, it was definitely an experience I'll never forget, you know, and I definitely recommend it.
Fantastic. So it's been really, really fun talking to you guys. That's Elena Montanaro from PwC. Thank you very much. And also Charles Thoma from the St. Martin's Institute.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. I'd also like to thank Carmela Greg and Redent Abdillah for the production of this show. The show is aired every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and repeated every Friday at 7:30 p.m.